time for the Gadget Guide with Rob and Lawrence. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, Julian.
Nice sunny outside, isn't it? It's pretty good. It's
sunny and warm.
So rather appropriately, today you're going to be looking at holiday gadgets.
Well, we thought it was probably about that time of year. We sort of kicked this one out, summertime, June, July,
I kind of remember a very early one that we used to have in the car when I was growing up, and it was like a kettle you plugged into the cigarette lighter kind of thing. And that
those never worked very well,
did they?
They
didn't work very well.
You just had to have patience.
A lot of patience.
Yeah. Made one cup at a time.
Precisely, it was only a little old thing as well. So I think I guess things have improved somewhat since then.
Well, hopefully we can come up with some slightly more useful holiday gadgets a little bit later on. First, a quick look down the tech news as we usually do. A few stops and starts really for the industry. SpringPad, for those of you who may have been using this as sort of note-taking service, they sadly have decided they're shutting down in a couple of weeks' time. So if you have been using them, well, you won't be for much longer. But the good news is there's plenty of alternatives if you're looking for basically keeping hold of just quick notes that you do or documents and scribbles as you go along, the sort of virtual notebook. There's Google Keep, which is their relatively new service. That's only been out for a couple of months now, I think, hasn't it?
I think it's been out longer than you think, but
A relatively new one. And, of course, the one that's been around forever and still doing very well and has a very loyal fan base is Evernote, which I think really is just a basically dump anything in it and then go and search for it later.
And these things let you put notes in on your phone, have them synchronised on your tablet, look at them on your PC.
Yep, it's the sort of go anywhere with you automatically notebook.
On the subject of Evernote, I know you guys caught it this week. There was a bit of a criminal action attempted against both Evernote and a service which I use called Feedly for RSS feeds. And basically, some rather nasty people decided it was a good idea to extort some money out of both of those. They refused, and Feedly's service was down, I would say, for the best part of 12, 18 hours, and it's still having the occasional wobble now.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that.
Other things have been attacked recently over the last week.
TweetDeck, which if you're a Twitter user is one of the larger desktop clients. It's actually run by Twitter themselves now. It was originally independent. They had a very interesting vulnerability where if someone who you follow tweeted a certain set of text, that would basically get executed as code in your TweetDeck and could then control that. So there was one that basically it was a tweet which caused itself to be retweeted. And you can imagine the carnage when this basically got tweeted by one or two people who all of their followers automatically retweeted it without any choice. And I think it even got retweeted by the BBC Breaking News account at one point.
Oops.
And that's particularly interesting because there was, I think, a couple of weeks ago, there was some sort of warning that the internet was going to be attacked. And while nobody seems to have put two and two together on this, one does wonder if this was the thing.
I don't think so. This was actually just a proof of concept. So within the space of an afternoon, someone went from, oh, I've just noticed this this security vulnerability to basically publishing that, just kind of to see how far it would go. And it turns out quite a long way. And Twitter actually had to take down TweetDeck for a little while they fixed it. So watch out. It's all good now. You don't have to do anything. It's all sorted itself
out. Panic over.
Yep.
What else have we got news-wise? iOS 8, so that's the latest version of Apple's operating system for mobile devices. A few things to note on that. It only supports from an iPhone 4S onwards or an iPad 2.
Oh, that's still going quite
so. How do you
way,
tell which is what you've got? If you're thinking, it won't let you have the update, will it? Presumably, if your phone's too old, say
exactly, correct. It won't even show you that there is an update. So if your phone says there is an update, it's all good.
So it's due out sort of July August timeframe. A couple of nice things to note in it. Things that have been available in things like WhatsApp and other chat applications for quite a while. Being able to put pictures and video and sound into your Apple messaging system.
Better sharing between apps they've added now. So this is something that historically Android has done a lot better than iOS.
They're now
starting to actually catch up some of that ground there.
And so in adding that, they've allowed now multiple types of keyboards. So you don't have to stick with the stock Apple keyboard, and all of the keyboard manufacturer software creators who created keyboards for Android have now got a market in the Apple App Store, iTunes Store. Good one to look at is Swift Key, which is now free of charge on Android as well as Apple. If you've bought it, you get a whole lot of bonus features free of charge from them, and they'll automatically send you an email. One other really cool feature now, which I'll mention, is that they've finally decided that people in a family can share.
Oh, so if one of you's bought something,
it will be shared between all of your family's accounts. So if I've bought a book, you can read the book if you're part of my family, and so on.
Which is fair enough, really, because if it was at home, it'd be sitting on the coffee table or on a bookshelf somewhere, and a member of the family would pluck it off.
So that's songs, movies, and apps. Everything in iTunes, in other words.
It'll be interesting to see whether Amazon follows suit on that on the Kindle, because, of course, that's something that historically is... Yes. And they've had lending, but only if you're Prime.
Yes.
So if they maybe that's an indication.
I'll get my mom
a
Kindle if I can lend her my books.
Mm, exactly. Maybe that's an indication that the publishers are starting to be a little bit more relaxed.
Well, speaking of Amazon, they've just launched Prime Music in the USA. So this is for people who've got the Amazon Prime service, which gives you here in the UK, gives you free delivery, free next day delivery, as well as access to their streaming media content and library. In the US, they've added the music facility, which will basically be access to their entire music catalogue, everything that's in Amazon MP3, as they get the rights from the record labels, and you'll be able to stream all of those tracks if you're a Prime member for free.
Their answer to Spotify, really, isn't it?
Basically, yes. So it'd be interesting to see if that manages to take off here. Obviously, they've got to deal with all the rights with the record labels.
Always the tricky one. And then finally, on the Android side of things, Samsung have announced their new tablet range. So that's an 8.4 and a 10.5-inch tablet. So filling in that sort of gap that we've historically had a little bit between the 7-inch tablets and the 10-inch tablets, just as we've seen the gap between phones starting, you know, at 4 inches and tablets at 7, you've now got the 5-inch phones, you've now got the 8.5-inch tablets.
We've got 4, 5, we're missing 6, we've got 7.
Yep.
We've got 8, and we've got 10. So we're missing 7 and 9 at the moment.
Well, like 8.4.
Sorry, 6 and 9 at the moment.
Sits
yeah.
in the middle. Anyway, very, very nice displays on some of these. 2560 by 1600 pixel display. So this is much better than HD.
It's better than some laptops.
It's pretty much all laptops, in fact. So this is probably twice the resolution of an HD television. Not quite up to the 4K. It's about 2.5K. But really heading towards the ultra high def screens here, which is amazing on such a small screen. And all of the rest of the things that you'd expect, 3 gigs of RAM, 16 or 32 gigs of storage, 8 megapixel cameras, and of course the latest version of Android as well.
Last bit of news before we take a break. Tesla, the electric car company, have decided to allow anyone who wants to build an electric car to use all of their patents. Free of charge.
Yes, so what they've said is they will not start lawsuits based on their patents. They still keep them to basically defend
themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess they'll license them, but they're not going to suing someone who starts developing stuff using their patents.
Oh, that's a good idea. So if anyone builds one in Cambridge, they won't get sued on the patents, and there's finally a chance that the electric charging points in our car parks in Cambridge will actually get used.
Exactly. It's basically to try and kickstart the market. Yeah. They've realised that the market is much bigger than they can produce cars for.
Also, they're producing a premium product.
Exactly. They're basically doing the Lamborghini of electric cars, aren't they?
Yes.
So hopefully that market is really going to expand.
Maybe we'll get the VW of electric cars from VW then at some point.
Sounds good.
Enough trouble getting a DAB radio in the car, let alone have it powered by electricity.
You just need a Tesla, which have now launched in the UK as well, by the way. The first ones are over here.
Cambridge 105, we're with Rob and Lawrence on the Gadget Guide, talking holiday gadgets.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Well, first of all, before you can go on holiday, you have to get there. And particularly if you've got kids, that can be a bit of a...
car trip.
Are we there yet?
Kids or grown-up kids, in some people's cases.
Backseat drivers.
Yeah. Then that can actually be far more hard work and stress than the holiday itself. So... Portable DVD players, these are something that's been around for quite a few years. I think you used to get portable video players, didn't you? I don't think anyone actually had them. Just visions of entire briefcase-sized things. But these have now really come down in price. So where they might have been something that was a bit of a luxury, only if you had the top-end car or similar, you now pick them up from Amazon and the like for somewhere around
Tesco,
50.
Argos.
Oh, do the Tesco have them as well?
Yeah, in their direct catalogue, yes.
Anywhere from £50 upwards. Obviously, the cheapest ones tend not to be such good quality, but nonetheless, if you just need something to display a few cartoons, maybe for the little ones in the back, pick up something. Built-in
screen, put the disc in, and it plays a DVD. Oh, yeah. Very simple. Plug headphones in so that you don't have to be disturbed by SpongeBob SquarePants or whatever.
You know far too much about that, Lawrence.
Tablets are pretty cheap. Can't you just get one of those and load it up with stuff from, I don't know, BBC iPlayer or ITV Player if it's working that
certainly
day?
Certainly another option as well. And like you said, tablets are becoming cheap. You can certainly pick up Android tablets for about £60-70. Possibly, but more resilient to knocks and bumps than a DVD player. Obviously, you've got to think about locking it down and making sure it hasn't got apps on it that are going to chew up bandwidth and data services. Mm. Other things, of course, with the DVD players.
Yeah, if you're maybe going on a flight in particular, and certainly I've spent my fair time on aeroplanes looking at the sort of 3-inch wide screens that you typically get in the back of the seats, you can now get virtual reality glasses. So we spoke to James Allison about the high end of that in the gaming market, the Oculus Rift, a few weeks ago. But at the much cheaper end, anywhere from about £80 or so, again online, you can get glasses that you wear that simulate up to a sort of 50-inch, 80-inch, 100-inch display, but of course take up no room. So they just sit in front of your eyes and project a virtual screen. And those typically, you can either put an SD card in, so a memory card like you might use in your digital camera, or connect it to an iPad or an iPhone using the connector on the bottom. So if you're not fancying something, the big screen movie on the small screen, to quote the start of the Simpsons movie, you can actually get a very respectable display that you just wear. And again, ideal for journeys, either car or plane.
And of course, the thing to think about and check is if you've bought a Blu-ray disc these days, they've all got the ultraviolet code with them. Make sure you register your ultraviolet codes before they expire. They've normally
That's
got about a couple of years. I've certainly got some that have got expiry dates in 2016 already. But make sure you register your ultraviolet codes. You can then use that movie on tablets, on phones, smartphones, and so on. So worth doing, and that way you don't have to pay for the content more than once.
Is that now starting to spread ultraviolet across the studios? It's not just a select batch of films anymore.
It's most of the Blu-rays. Most of the Blu-rays, and some of the DVDs, but mostly the Blu-rays. If you want something a little bit bigger, maybe something to watch while you're out as a family in a hotel or something, again, hotels tend to have fairly small TVs, maybe a little bit difficult to connect up your own.
You're staying in the
wrong hotels. Some of us can't afford the Ritz. A bit difficult to connect up your own devices. You can now get little travel projectors. Now, there's two different sorts, and watch out for the difference. You can get Pico projectors, which are maybe only the size of a smartphone or similar, and those start from about £100, £150, but those are very, very dim, so they're very low power, very lightweight, very cheap.
Definitely in a dark room to run.
But you need to have your lights out. On the other hand, you get things that now sit in the gap between the Pico projectors at the very low power end and just sort of your typical office projector. You don't really want to be carting around. Things like the Dell M115 HD comes in around about £350, £400, but much, much brighter, 450 lumens. Still very small, maybe the size of a sort of paperback book or thereabouts, but lots of options to either plug in USB devices, HDMI if you've got a laptop or something, or again an SD card with your movies on it.
Very nice. Of course, if you want to get access to the content, quite often when you go into the hotel, they've got paid for Wi-Fi.
Oh, I hate that.
And the sneaky thing is a lot of them charge you per device you hook up. Or at least you get an account, and if you log in on one device, on another device, it kicks you out on the first one. So there are devices available that will allow you to share your Wi-Fi as Wi-Fi. So wireless in, wireless out. The other options, of course, are things like 3G and 4G dongles, and also things that can share the hotel's wired connection.
There's a trick on the Apple Mac. I dare say you can do something similar on PCs.
If
you've got a wired connection coming in, you can then make it a wireless connection hotspot. And there was the hotel I was in where they charged a different fee for Wi-Fi, which was double that of the fixed line. Yes. So that was an easy decision.
So you can get devices that you can plug in, which will actually create your own hotspot from the wired connection, share it amongst multiple devices, lower power than running your laptop all the time.
And also much, much cheaper nowadays. So whereas a MiFi or similar might have been £50, £100 previously, you can now get something that you can either plug a wired connection in, like in your hotel, or a 3G or 4G dongle if you've got a USB dongle, and you can pick those up anywhere really from £5 or £10 upwards. Again, look on eBay, look on Amazon. There are some very, very cheap ones. Watch out, some of them come in Chinese and you have to fix it into English later.
Yes, Chinglish is never easy. Powering all of this lot, we've talked about external battery packs before, but Anker, A-N-K-E-R, just search for them on Amazon, have got their second generation Astro 3 battery pack out now. It's now got 4 amps of output, which basically will allow you to power things like an iPad and an iPhone and a third device all at the same time, charging them up. A great little box, £36. Charges now on a micro USB port, so you don't need a separate brick. You can use your regular phone charger to charge the device, and an 18-month warranty. Worth looking at. Anker Astro 3.
Very nice. And then finally, a couple of the more location-based things.
Trackers.
Yes, we've spoken about persons or people trackers and the like before, and tracking your iPhone and stuff like that. But what about tracking your pets? Maybe you're going on holiday with your dog.
So did you know that 1 in 10 Brits take a picture of their pet with them on holiday?
That's pretty good, because I bet you 1 in 10 Brits don't take their pet with them on holiday.
Well, it can be expensive to take your pet. Obviously, if you've got a pet sitter who's looking after the dog or the cat or whatever, you might want to make sure a little bit of extra peace of mind, knowing where the dog is at all times. So what you can do is you can get a thing called a Paw Tracks, and it's PAWTRAX. Just search for that. PawTracks.co.uk will sell you a GPS collar.
I love that. I love the idea of putting that on my cat and seeing where she actually goes.
It's much more fun on the cat, I think, than a dog.
They do them for cats and dogs.
Okay.
It comes with a 2G SIM card, pay as you go, and you can get about 1,000 updates for 5p. So keep track of the cat.
Excellent. Well, we're back in a couple of weeks' time, aren't we? I think we've got the 2 weeks on this roster.
2nd and 4th Fridays of the month.
27th of June.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you then.
You too.
Cheers.